Hi there, beautiful, and welcome back. Today is actually part two of my interview with Dr. Erica Matluck. Yesterday was part one, so if you missed that, you'll definitely want to catch it in the replay, or you are absolutely welcome to purchase the entire lifetime access to these recordings, and you can watch it anytime you'd like. I'm chatting today with Dr. Erica Matluck. She is a modern medicine woman and the creator of Seven Senses, a holistic framework for healing and transformation. She is trained as a naturopathic doctor, family nurse practitioner, Reiki master, and multidisciplinary yoga instructor. Combining over a decade of experience working in conventional and alternative medicine, she brings a truly holistic lens to well-being, addressing the physical, mental, and emotional and spiritual aspects of health. Ancient wisdom and Eastern philosophy thread through all of her work, which has been featured in Harper's Bazaar, Mind Body Green, Well and Good, Vogue, and Women's Health. You are absolutely going to love today's interview. I've had so much fun chatting with Dr. Erica, and enjoy.
I really want to empower women to go into their birth with the strength and the knowing that, like, wow, let you show yourself what you are capable of, because you will never be the same. Life will never be the same once you see what you can really do and how strong you really are.
I'm getting chills. I couldn't say it better myself. It's so true. It's so true. Nothing.
Yeah, I get so fired up about it, you know, because a lot of the time the conventional medical system, like, it's like they don't want us to think that we can do it. You know, they want to sort of rush us through the labor. They have all these assistance or I guess, you know, technologies to assist us available. And that's really wonderful that we have access to all those things. But I say, let's show ourselves how strong we are before we assume that we're going to need help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love it. You know, I can really relate. It's been interesting. You're talking about both eliminating trying from your vocabulary and the yoga aspect. Personally, I focus so much on the nutrition. I was that person that was like, it's all about the nutrition. I have to have everything perfect. I'm going to do it all right. I need this vitamin for this at this time. But I was kind of naively doing what you seem to be consciously doing. We never said we were trying, and we just did get pregnant. I didn't think about it. I wasn't trying to not be negative, but it just didn't. And we also conceived, and I just thought it was, and maybe it is, we'll never know, you know, the great nutrition and setting myself up, or the fact mentally that I wasn't trying. But then also, I also did pregnancy yoga all throughout. I was really focused on having yoga implemented, and I wasn't doing weightlifting because I hadn't been doing that prior. I was kind of advised not to jump into it in pregnancy. So I stuck with yoga all throughout, and I've never once considered, I personally like to say I'm so blessed that, like, I can't imagine labor have been any better. I mean, in the moment, I wouldn't have said that to you, but, like, looking back, I'm just like, that was, it'll bring tears to my eyes. It was just the most amazing experience. And it's everything you just talked about. Like, it showed me my power. And my body was so incredible. And, like, you come out of it and you're, like, so proud of, like, whoa, you can do this thing. And I never related so much of it to possibly the yoga, you know, and I was putting so much of a weight on the nutrition side of what I did. But I think yoga and the mental space that you're talking about, really, I'm just backing you up here. I think it really actually helps a lot.
You know, and I want to back you up because I believe that no efforts go unseen in the eyes of the universe. And, you know, what you, your attention and your intention and your love for your child, you express that through your nutrition choices, right? And for someone else, they might primarily express that through their emotions or their yoga practice or their some other form of exercise. But, like, the intention is the same, right? You said, I want to create a healthy, hospitable, welcoming home for my child. I want to be in the greatest shape possible for them to come through me in labor. And sometimes the how isn't important, right? Sometimes it's like the intention is what your child feels. It's all love, right? Whether we choose to do it through our yoga practice or our nutritional choices, or quitting our jobs or building a nursery. But like, that's a mother's love. And I don't think that at that stage, our babies care what form it comes in. I think they just feel your intention.
Oh, I never thought of it that way. It's so true. Is there anything that you think a woman should be detoxing her body from prior to conceiving?
Yes. And, you know, we could go down the road of, you know, integrative medicine, and we could talk about, you know, heavy metals, or we could talk about excess caffeine or this or that, or, you know, chemicals. We could go that direction. But I'm a little bit of a believer in, like, if the body is that toxic and the body is not a physically hospitable environment to life, the pregnancy probably won't happen. So what I'd rather share, because I think it's probably a less popular topic, is detoxing our minds from the thoughts and beliefs that aren't in service of us becoming the mothers that we want to be. And, you know, just even in my own experience, I'm a doctor, and I was a midwifery school dropout. I've been to a lot of births. I know a lot of mothers. I was highly educated. And when I got pregnant, a lot of women that I know sent me books about normal pregnancy, what to do, what not to do during pregnancy. And like, as much as I appreciated the intention and the love and the care from my friends who are mothers, I really didn't appreciate a lot of the information in the books. And I think for a lot of us, the books, the expert opinions, the shoulds, take us out of our intuitive experience. And so I would really invite people to think about detox in this way. What stories, opinions, beliefs, ideas are, you know, being sort of projected on you that are toxic, that aren't in service of the pregnancy you want to have, the motherhood experience you want to have? And, you know, for some people, like with the mamas I work with, the mamas to be that are having difficulty conceiving, especially over 40, I always say, find 5 women's stories that inspire you and listen to them over and over. Mamas who got pregnant in their 40s, who had no challenges, that inspire you, not ones that make you feel resentful or angry. And all those ones, all those stories you have where it was a nightmare and this happened to this mama and she's old and this birth defect or this is just, yes, those are risks are real, but like, detox your space from those stories, the ones that fill you with fear, because no one else is telling us to do that. And there's a lot of fear around pregnancy over 35, labor and delivery, and even motherhood.
It doesn't have to be that way.
We've been doing this since the beginning of time. So as much as like, I think fear is like a reason of, you know, a healthy and a welcomed frequency and emotion, I think that when it comes to this topic, there's so much fear that we can't relax. Our nervous systems are in fight or flight. And when our nervous systems are in fight or flight, the last thing our physiology is thinking about is reproduction, right? Our body is preparing to not survive. When our nervous system thinks we're in danger, it would be ridiculous and absurd to get pregnant. So detox, the most important thing to detox ourselves from is the fear. Mm. So we can actually relax mm-hmm. And create and birth mm-hmm. like we were designed to do.
So you speak so much, and you touched on it a bit, the chakras that you teach on and how you use the framework of the chakras to teach your model of holistic health. How can we integrate that into what kind of work should women be doing around their chakras, or how can we relate that into this time in their life?
I mean, we could have a whole other conversation on this because I actually, let's just speak to the pregnancy part. Okay. I think that the pregnancy part, it's almost like it's this unique experience where like the crown chakra meets the root chakra, right? Mm-hmm. So the root chakra, we both have children in this stage where it's like, they're just learning to survive in a body. That's all that matters in those first years of life, right? Learning to survive in a body. And that means crawling and walking and trusting our footing and our instincts, developing our instincts. It means developing secure attachment, right? So on the one hand, this time of pregnancy and new motherhood, it's like, it's very root chakra-esque. But on the other hand, we're super connected to the crown, the mystery, the void, the oneness that all souls come from and return to when we're pregnant. So, you know, and I felt this very strongly, how I mentioned how we lost my partner's father during my pregnancy. And I actually meet a lot of women who experience grief in pregnant and loss in pregnancy. And I don't think that's coincidental. I think because it's this time where we're so close to the cycle of birth, life, death, and rebirth, the cycle that souls go through. And so I feel like for pregnant mamas, those are the two areas that I would invite people to dive into. And what that looks like at the crown is like the miracle and the mystery of life. Let yourself be in awe of it all. For me, that meant during my pregnancy, we went to Hawaii. We went to Kauai, which is like one of my favorite places on earth. And it helps me feel connected to like, just like the beauty and the miracle of life and the sensory experience of being in a body. The ancient yogis and rishis, they believed that a soul's greatest honor was to be born in a body. And then our little babies teach us that, right? Like everything. I mean, your daughter's a little older. My son's still at that age where like a meal is an experience. He touches mm-hmm. it, he smells it, it's in his ears, it's on his eyes, right? And it's like, as moms, it's really easy to get frustrated by that, right? Because every meal is like a 1-hour cleanup. But rather than getting frustrated by that, I let that be my reminder that like, I am living the greatest honor to experience the world through the senses. The smells and the feelings and the sights and the beauty. And so that's what I'd sort of invite mamas to be and new mamas to work with. Both the connection to the miracle, the unseen, the unknown, the mystery of who was my son before we called him Orion? Where did he come from? Like geek out on it. And I ask him all the time. And of course, he can't answer me yet. But like, it allows me to like be in that space of the crown with him. It allows me to feel connected to my mother and his grandfather on the other side, while also being super grounded, you know, being the divine for our young children and teaching them how to be safe in a body, teaching them that it's safe to be themselves, to have emotions, that they can trust themselves, they can trust that mom is here, and that like the body can be an uncomfortable place sometimes, but like we can sit with them through those periods of discomfort. It really is. It's just such a tremendous experience becoming a parent.
Mm-hmm. You know, if there's anything I had personally had to say, it was, I of course got all the books and read as many as I could. And when I had her in my arms and she's physically now here, earthside, I felt like I had to listen to everybody else. What does the doctor tell me to do? What do the books tell me to do? Like, I've got to do it this way. I've got to do it that way. I need schedules. I need to write it out. If there's anything, I don't want to say I'd change things, but if there's anything I would change, it would be just like from the get-go, just trust that you know inside, like, mama, you know. I just didn't lean into that intuition as much as I wish I would have. It took me 6 months or so till I was like, throw it all out.
I mean, yeah. And like, I totally agree with you. Like, it's a really like a mama's know. I mean, we're literally one with our children, you know, and like definitely while we're breastfeeding, but I think even beyond. And, I mean, fortunately we haven't had like that many times yet where like something's been wrong, but every time something's been wrong, like he's sick or something, like I know, there's no question. And yeah, I think that no one really, I mean, our medical system is not designed to empower us to trust that. And it's a huge disservice.
Even just nursing, I remember that specifically. I was told, I think it was like every 2 hours or something, you know, in the very early days, and I would time it, I would set everything, and like looking back, and I would tell her, no, I would be like, no, you know, you just nursed and you nursed for this long. And that's how long they told me you're supposed to nurse for. And looking back, like I would have just let that baby stay on my boob as much as she wants.
Totally. I think, you know, in these early days from nursing to sleep to it's, and then it's like, it's such an illusion that there's a right way to do it.
That's, I know.
It's like you talk to 10 moms and like 10 moms are having 10 different experiences. Yeah. And I think one of the hardest parts is like, just kind of trusting that like, whatever you do is right, because like your kid chose you to be their mom, not the other mom. And like finding that balance, I mean, we've had like sleep has been really challenging for us. It's still challenging. And like, he's like co-sleeping and I haven't wanted to like put him in a separate room. He screams like he's having night terrors or something. And so we're not ready to do it. And like, and it's this like difficult tug of war. Cause on the one hand, I'm like willing to sacrifice my quality of sleep so my kid can experience secure attachment. And on the other hand, like, I want to teach my kid about self-care. And like, I'm not really modeling that when I like, because I'm not getting great sleep. And it's like when, you know, the way you want to take care of them is in competition with the way you want to take care of yourself. It's just like a tension that like no one can solve. And like how you navigate that tension and how I navigate that tension just like aren't going to be the same because we're just different people. But learning to trust that how you do it is perfect for you and how I do it is perfect for me. And rather than us like cultivating that trust, I think there's a tendency to like, you know, go to the moms groups or read the books or the blogs on like what normal is. And a lot of the time that ends up resulting in like shame or guilt or, you know, self-doubt. And like, I think that's like so unfortunate. Well, and it's so cyclic too, because I don't know if you've had this experience as a mother, but also I find becoming a mother, it like connected lineage for me in a way that it never had before. All of a sudden, I discovered a version of self-love that I never knew existed because I had no idea how much my parents loved me until I became a mother. And all of a sudden, it's like my heart bursts open to my son, but my heart also bursts open to my father. I mean, my mother too, but my mother's passed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on multiple occasions now, I've like called my father and I've just been like, Dad, like I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I had no idea like the sacrifices and the love and the care and what it really meant to be my father, and thank you. And, you know, so it's like you become a mother and then like it wakes up your inner child and your heart opens to the generation, you know, the younger generation, but it also opens deeper to the older generation. And all of a sudden, like your ability to do ancestral healing and, you know, future generational work like comes online in a totally new way. So, you know, then for me, that's like third eye stuff. And I could get into this with each chakra, but, you know, well, we can kind of leave it at that and a little teaser for a conversation for a future date, but profound topic you're talking about and such a profound journey. And all I wish is for all the women out there who want to be mothers that like, it's a fulfilling and deep and beautiful journey, not without challenge, but unique to you. And to all the mamas that like, or all the women who don't want to take the traditional path of being mothers, but who do want to show up as mothers to their inner children or as aunties to their nieces, nephews, and dear friends' children. I honor you too, because it takes a village. It really, really takes a village. And we need the maidens and we need the mamas and all kinds of different forms. And the dads, of course.
Absolutely. You know, I started this and I'm on this journey because I was that girl that was terrified. You described me earlier perfectly, that I thought everything was going to change. What is sex going to look like ever again? What's my body going to look like? What's my life going to look like? I can't just hop in the car when I want. I was scared of everything. What can I physically survive labor? I mean, these were the questions that went through my mind, and it's what led me on the journey of how can I be my healthiest self going into this. But I'll tell you what, you also just wrapped it up with, I absolutely felt that self-love that's just, I've been chasing my whole life until then. And it just floods in. You have that self-love after pregnancy and after going through labor and what your body's capable of. And then it's just, I don't know, it's the lineage maybe you speak on. You just said it so well. You just wrapped it up into everything I was so scared of has actually turned into the most beautiful thing I could have never explained or dreamt of in my wildest dreams.
That makes me so happy for you. That's so inspiring and beautiful. And I'm so glad you're doing this event and this summit for people, because it's that, like, that is the journey from fear to love, you know, and it's such a beautiful one.
I want women to know it's not the scary horror stories we hear, and it can be different. It absolutely can be different and life-changing and miraculous and magical.
And I think it's all of the things, right? Because like, I also hear a story often, which was like a little bit more of my story, where I wasn't really afraid. And all I heard were all the beautiful, wonderful things about motherhood and parenthood. And no one really told me like the hard and the challenge and the ugly. And, you know, it is truly the devotional path, and the devotional path is not always sexy, right? It's like me covered in breast milk and residue from a poopy diaper and without having to taken a shower in like 4 days, right? So there is a lot to it. And I think part of the beauty is like holding space for all of it. And I think it's really important that we share with each other like the challenges and the magic and the miracles, but also like the gruesome hard times, because that's like how we develop compassion for one another and build the village.
Yeah. So true. What would you recommend to women in postpartum who are in parenting and they're looking at that first year? You're so close to it right now, having gone through it. What would you say is, if they're struggling in that way, if that's the difficult portion of this for them, what would you say to them?
First, I would validate the fact that this is a chapter of your life that is very hard to anticipate your own needs, right? Like, it's some women super prepare for the postpartum period and then get there and realize that like they want space and they don't want, you know, as much help or mother-in-laws or friends in their space. And some women like myself under prepare and then realize that like they really need more help and scrambling to figure out how to create that support system when you're in it is difficult. Yeah. So the first thing I would say is just like, it's all valid. You know, you do the best you can to anticipate your needs, and it's okay if you don't anticipate correctly. I would say though, part of becoming a mother, you know, and we talked a lot about labor and strength in labor. And I mentioned how so many other species of women or species, you know, the women birth alone. And I think becoming a mother is like, it's this balance of finding your strength and ability to, you know, be the fierce mama who stands alone, that will do anything to protect her young, but also knowing how to ask for help and how to get the support of your village. And so I think about the postpartum period as a time for that to really thrive. And I'd encourage women to think about what does support look like for you? If you don't want to have people in your space in the postpartum period, you can do meal trains, you can do, you know, delivery gift cards. You can do Amazon gift cards, registry. There's a lot of ways to do it. So I think that my best advice is to be thoughtful about what support looks like. And when you do your registries or set up that support system, don't forget that you are healing during that time. So massages, acupuncture, pelvic floor PT, therapy, whatever self-care looks like for you, like set those things up, ask people for financial support for those things if like that's supportive to you. But don't think just about, you know, what baby's gonna wear from 0 to 3 months and what furniture you need for the nursery. Really think about what are you gonna need to heal from this experience? What is going to nourish you, from food to touch to music to company? And do your best to set that up for yourself so you have support. in those months.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our ladies today?
I don't think so. I think we covered a lot of ground. I will just share, you know, from mother to mothers and mothers to be and aspiring mothers, like welcome to the path of devotion and the greatest initiation that a woman can walk, and blessings to you at whatever point of the journey you're on.
Mm-hmm. You're sharing with everyone your seven senses guide to chakras. Is that right?
That's right.
Could you tell us a little bit more about what they look at inside that?
Yeah, well, so as you mentioned, you know, a lot of the way I approach holistic health, that I include the chakra system there as a way to like unpack the self holistically, different levels or perspectives on the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual experience. And so the chakra guide just is like a little brief guide that brings you through the seven chakras and breaks down aspects of each of those perspectives in a way to look at yourself. So it's a simplification of something that can be as complex as you want it to be. But I think it's a nice place to start if people want to start to explore themselves through this lens.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Erica. I've loved chatting with you today. I could talk with you the rest of this afternoon, but I've enjoyed this so much.
You're welcome. I've really enjoyed it too. Thanks for having me and for sharing so much of your own story and for hosting this.
Absolutely.